But why can't every day be just this good?
Howdy, everybody. Cable Smith welcoming each and every one of you into episode 166 of Justified Pursuit. It's great to be here with you. And riding shotgun, as always, the good counselor, Chisholm Cook, which I would ask how you're doing. But you just told me your daughter just smashed your pickup into what, the garage there in your Wilverde Castle? What happened? What's going on?
Yeah, a beautiful day in the hill country.
First of all, I'm really sorry that that happened.
A beautiful day in the hill country has taken a sudden turn. Yeah. We have a three-car garage, so go ahead with your Vivaldi crap. And there's a, you know, a little partition between the big two-door bay and the smaller third garage, and I always park my truck over there, kind of in between those spots. That way you can, like, easily get in and out of the third garage, and Ashley has plenty of room getting in and out of the two-car garage, and kid forgot to put it in park. I think she thought she was hitting the brake. She hit the gas. Rammed my Ram right into the stone, 2 foot wide, 3 foot wide little stone wall piece there.
So what took the brunt of the impact? The truck or the house?
The bumper seems to be smashed a good 2 inches back of where it belongs. And the wall has cracks going up 12 plus feet, it looks like.
So she floored that son of a gun into the castle.
I think she said, I thought I was pushing the brake, which leads me to believe, yeah, she smashed down on the gas. I think she was smashing down on the
brake. And you were in the truck with her. What did you say after it happened? What was the first thing out of your mouth?
I'm pretty sure I took our Lord's name in vain, if I'm being honest. I think I might have said Jesus, and then I was just quiet, and then I just...
But not like Jesus, take the wheel. More like, Jesus, what were you doing?
Yeah, the latter.
Oh, man.
So, what's happening in news?
We're going skiing. So
cool.
Yeah. I'm going to go, I'm not going to lie. I feel a little bit dirty spending money in Colorado these days.
You should.
I don't. The fight for their wildlife management is clearly on the ballot for November 2024, but they're trying to appoint. And did you know this? I don't know if you're aware of this. Do you know who's pulling the strings in Colorado as far as wildlife management is concerned?
Like more specifically than leftists?
Well, so Governor Polis is a leftist, yes.
Sure.
Yeah. He's the one that just got wolves reintroduced. It's his husband. His husband is a rampant wildlife supporter. You know, I'm a wildlife supporter. That's why I actually fund it with my conservation dollars. Yeah, but no, he's an animal rights activist. And behind the scenes, his husband is the one that is now, they have three open spots on their commissioner board, and they're trying to fill it with anti-hunters right now as we speak, this week. And yeah, that dude is, terrorist, really. Shocker. So I just found out about that like a couple weeks ago as far as the, really, who is running. The guy who's the head of Coloradans for Responsible Wildlife Management told me that Polis' husband has the captain's hat on and is steering the ship in the direction that he wants to take it for Colorado Parks and Wildlife. And we're talking about going, you and I are talking about going elk hunting there in September.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was gay, but that's certainly... That all tracks. Yeah. That all seems to make sense. Marlon Reyes. Yeah.
Well, is that's apparently, his husband's name?
Apparently is the husband's name. An American animal rights advocate. writer and first gentleman of Colorado, as the husband of 43rd Governor of Colorado, Jared Polis. He became the first same-sex first gentleman in the U.S. following the inauguration of Polis as governor in January of 2019.
Well, it just says it right there on his little bio, known animal rights activist.
Six months younger than me.
So he's like a trophy husband. Unlike you.
I would say I was quite the catch.
Well, at least one of us thinks that. Yeah, so anyway.
I'm why definitely I like... more good looking than either of these two Fs. Google them. Tell me that's not true. See? We're both
that's
way
the
more
pair
handsome.
Of them right there?
I think so, yeah.
Polis is really robbing the cradle. Yeah. It looks like a college student. Correct. You are better looking than them.
See?
Mm-hmm. He looks like a total doofus.
I don't want to talk anymore about gay animal rights people, but like I said, all that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
A gay guy is ruining the state of Colorado's wildlife. Great hunting and fishing legacy. Yay. What else are they not? Tell me something that the LGBTQ movement is not screwing up as badly as they possibly can.
Well, did you see that Ghana just passed into law the fact that it is now illegal to identify as LGBTQRSTUV in Ghana? Illegal.
Only because you told me, but yeah, that's not an answer to my question. That's
is that taking it a step too far? Oh, and I mean, historically, you and I on the show.
Give them an inch and they'll take a mile, man.
But you and I have said you have the right for the pursuit of happiness, right? And that's kind of granted in the Constitution. And if being gay is what makes you happy, then who am I to stop you? Do you still feel that way?
Let them get married. And the next thing you know, they're introducing wolves into the largest elk herd in North America and taking away your ability to hunt there.
I would say they're the wolves. In sheep's clothing.
I'm feeling a little jaded today.
that's the caveat, is really they are sheep. That's why we have to be the wolves.
Right.
Taylor Swift has over 235 million Instagram followers. And last week on Super Tuesday, what was she doing? Telling everyone to go vote.
Did it seem to make any difference?
No. But if anyone...
Make any difference.
I certainly had conversations with liberals watching the Super Bowl and be like, oh, she's not political, you know, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, whatever. We'll just wait a second.
All right. Well, listen, to be fair, all she said was go vote.
Go vote.
She didn't even say for who.
Well, she endorsed Biden last time. And it doesn't matter who. But she's going to. You know she's going to.
She hasn't. She just said go vote. I'm the one who thinks who pointed out she's a witch. So, like, I'm not like all of a sudden pro Taylor Swift. I guess my point is, what difference did it make? Trump won by 2x or more across the board, and in most states got more votes than Biden did.
Correct. But no, I'm just tying it all together. You know, Mr. Pfizer, the Democrat machine tied to Big Pharma telling us all to take our shots. Here's Taylor Swift saying go vote. I mean, come on. Let's connect the dots here. And Nikki Haley spent $114 million on that failed garbage dumpster fire of a campaign.
Yeah, you know why, right?
Well, I mean, we talked about it on the show.
Well, what did we come up with? I don't remember.
I mean, donors got to spend money.
In. That's right. The reason that she stayed in until that point was specifically just to spend that $114 million.
Right.
But she gone.
Yep.
She has suspended her campaign. I love the word suspended.
Mm-hmm. It's a very odd choice. Like, she's coming back?
It definitely leaves the door open, but nobody ever takes that door.
The thing that she did not do, which if there was any doubt in anyone's mind that she's just a rhino piece of crap, is that she did not endorse Trump.
Not yet.
Did you just like silently cuss under your breath and wince because you're still mad about what just happened?
Yeah. Yeah. Just so everybody knows, this was mere minutes before we started the recording. So I need a little, need to get my
hopefully,
mind off.
Hopefully
you're starting off with, you know, I need to get my mind off of it. And you're starting off with gay guys screwing up hunting in what should be one of the finest states in the union and Nikki Haley talk. Talk about Fannie Willis, how F she is. How about that?
No, we're not ready for that. We're not ready for 30 minutes on Fannie Willis yet, buddy.
I don't have 30 today. I have like 10.
All right, we'll save that for the bottom half of the broadcast.
For the Fannie?
Yeah, for the Fannie.
By the way, I'm not calling her Fannie. It's Fannie.
Yeah. I wanted to first, a little note from Stella here. Before I play you the audio that you've been waiting for.
Bringing it back to trans.
From Brief Ram, Space Force. She's an colonel, apparently, in Space Force. Oh, sorry, just misgendered it. It's actually a man pretending to be a woman.
Still far too many people out there, not just LGBTQ individuals, that feel marginalized, shut out, or discriminated against. So for all of you out there, I ask you to set out your symbols of pride, share your pronouns in your email, particularly if you're a person who doesn't think they need to.
That's the best part right there.
Yeah, I do that. I share how I identify in my email.
And what is that?
We haven't talked about this?
We have, but just in case, we have new listeners.
Anybody who's looking to do exactly what that fine person
dude
suggested, which is show solidarity with this new cause, try something like Christian husband father. That's what my emails say.
I like it. Meanwhile, I'm over here posting memes that say when you get a friend request but they have their pronouns listed in their profile. Look at that. That's my take on it. Double thumbs down from Joaquin Phoenix. I think that's from Gladiator. Funny meme there, though. I have enough friends. I mean, you're in the corporate world. Hasn't everything shifted back towards if you're coming in for an interview and you're really trying to flaunt the fact that you're throwing your pronouns around, aren't companies being like, maybe we're going to go a different direction?
I will not speak on behalf of the organization that I work for, but mm-hmm. I can say from what I gather more broadly, there seems to be an awakening that anybody who puts that front and center on, say, a resume and then wants to lead with that or make it an issue in an interview is now being looked at as a potential pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are outfits across the country who are starting to say that that's an automatic chuck in the trash can if they feel the need to share their pronouns like at the top of their resume. Because all it means is you're getting some activist who's going to spend more time activating than working.
I also feel like there's two other things that come with that. Victim mentality and entitlement.
Yeah. Right.
You're not going to get a hard worker.
No.
So.
You're going to get a bunch of nonsense
mm-hmm.
and trouble.
But meanwhile, this is a great headline. I don't know if you've seen this. But shut up, Brief Ram. Go away. Go away forever. But anyway, we have the top British universities have put out a kind of a moratorium, and it states that saying that the most qualified person for the job should actually get the job is a microaggression. If you utter the phrase, the most qualified person should get the job.
Oh, that's a yeah. Microaggression. Oh, yeah. Where'd you find that?
This is just this was published February 24th, and I'm not sure of the actual publication. Some British paper here I'm looking at.
I'm well aware of that. Let's say I was made aware of that last year sometime. Apparently, the Harvard Business Review has some guidance out on that, exactly that thing right there. Yeah.
Probably signed off on by their former dean.
their current dean of DEI is still there, although she's now under investigation for plagiarism as well. Their former president, of course, is now just a professor rather than president.
Oh, I thought Claudine Gay was the dean. She was the president. She was the
president of the university.
Oh, well. DEI hires. Hmm. That's what they get you. And also, companies, just like they are not interested in dealing with your pronouns, they don't want to deal with overeducated people either. So if you've been indoctrinated by those top universities, we've talked about that on the show, like less likely to get hired. Some companies won't even hire Harvard grads for that reason.
Right. Thank goodness for that.
You want to go into P. Diddy?
Yeah, sure.
Because this was news for me. I don't know how I wasn't aware of that story. Where did you find out about that?
You know,
or when did you first hear about it? Okay,
that all popped up last. Well, as of the time of this airing, 2 weeks ago. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like very end of February, early March was when it came to pass, came to be. Yeah, certainly hasn't gotten a ton of publicity. You want me to tee that up? Is that where you're going with this?
Yeah, so all lawsuit... I know is that you sent me a link to an article that he's like really into gay sex and coercing his employees into doing just grotesque sexual things for him against their will, and that it's kind of like a crime ring, basically.
So the thing I thought that was interesting about what I sent you was that apparently in the last like 24 months, four women have brought suits against him for sexual violence, sexual assault, including a longtime girlfriend, and he settled all of those. But the one that made news since the first of the month is rapper Rodney Little John Jones. Oh, I guess producer and videographer who worked for Combs for a long time. Sean Puff Daddy Puffy P. Diddy Combs.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't followed Sean Combs's career extraordinarily closely. I certainly know some of his old school jams, being a child of the 90s. But apparently it's long been rumored that he's got some homosexual tendencies. I think that if you think through the fact that he's changed his name half a dozen times just since he's been famous, that would give you reason to believe he has some kind of identity crisis going on, right? Uh-huh. And Diddy, it's pretty gay sounding, but hey, who am I to judge? Well, turns out maybe there's some fire to all the smoke of the last 20 plus years. Because this cat claims that he personally was sexually assaulted by Diddy many, many times.
He made him touch his anus. That
yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
This guy like let Sean P. Diddy Puffy
play with his butt.
Right. Touch his butthole.
Right. But also claims that Puff has had sex with Usher. Some other guy? Was that other? Meek Mills, I think. Meek Mills has even addressed this online, apparently. But the long and short of it is, these articles, if you just Google this, man, there's articles all over. NPR has a timeline of allegations going back to, you know, Puff first becoming sort of famous when he, you know, started... What was his that wasn't Death Row, right? What was Puff Daddy's label?
No, that was Shit like Night.
B.I.G. and all that, right?
I don't remember.
What was it called?
I think he was tight with Suge Knight. Maybe he was with Death Row Records at first.
Bad Boy was Puff's outfit. No, I don't think they were tight with it. Was a whole East Coast, West Coast thing, right? Sure, okay. It was West Coast stuff, and they were literally killing people, right? So this dude came forth and, you know, tried to provide some sort of support for the allegations that Puff had something
Death
to do
Row
with.
Death Row and Bad Boy Records are sideways.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
I don't think Death Row exists anymore.
Tupac did not kill himself.
Yeah, these guys are saying he had something to do with Tupac's murder, which seems fairly obvious, but even that he had something to do with Biggie's murder, who was supposed to be his boy.
Right.
And it was really Biggie's murder that caused him to become almost famous, right? Because now he's singing about his friend or rapping about his friend. Man, the long and short of it is
he tried to touch Biggie's butthole and he was like, I'm not down with that, bro.
I mean, according to this guy, Diddy has been trying to diddy everybody. Women, men, apparently boys and girls. He filed photographs and videos with this motion for this lawsuit, with this petition for this lawsuit. This dude filed a $30 million lawsuit for like long-term sexual harassment and assault by Puff. Again, after four women in the last 2 years had filed such cases and just had them settled out of court, meaning they got paid.
Right.
Right. But he's claiming he's got evidence. I mean, he provided some evidence that he has even more that, you know, Puff would have these parties at his place in Long Beach, or not Long Beach, Miami.
With sex workers, for sure.
Right. So he's got a lady that's like his personal assistant, which was pretty much the Ghislaine Maxwell to P. Diddy's Jeffrey Epstein, where her job was to bring in the young girls. Oh, and the young boys. So he's alleging that underage boys and girls were getting assaulted at these things and being fed drugs, you know, and that it was just like this freak show free for all. And that when he would make a move on a dude or a woman, then he would basically raping the person, claim like, I got all this on video, so you better not ever talk or I'll be able to burn you down with it, which is kind of like, well, doesn't that burn both of y'all? But I don't know.
This dude, what you sent me, he claimed he got roofied also and possibly raped.
Passed around a party. Yeah. Yeah. And he claims he was
dark stuff.
He claims he was groomed by Diddy and then handed to Diddy's friends when they would show up at parties. That Diddy like groomed him to be okay with gay stuff, claiming that this is how the music industry rolls. We're all freaks. And then later on, some dude, do you remember who? Somebody showed up and he was like, here, go hook up with this guy.
Yeah. I don't remember who. But
in addition to,
yeah,
being passed around and raped.
It's this big cover up because rap music in general is very macho and demeaning of women and would mock homosexuality, right? And does.
Yeah, but there's a super cut of hip hop lyrics that I saw that I should send to you.
Uh-huh.
Where there are some lyrics over the years. This dude put these lyrics together. And the premise is, why do hip hop artists keep singing about doing gay stuff?
Huh.
And it's shocking. Some of them, knowing a little bit of the song, you kind of know like they clipped it just right where it made it seem like something that wasn't. But some of them you're like, what the hell did he just say? And the whole, like, so it's a spliced together video that this YouTuber made, right? And so like, the whole premise of the video is like they'll show the actual rap video and a dude saying something and he'll put the lyrics on the screen and then cut and the dude's like, you know, or and then like in one he's like taking a shower and like washing his armpits and then, or you know, it plays this lyric and, you know, cuts to the dude taking a shower and he stops in the shower, and another one he like slams on the brakes in his car. Like it's just him overreacting over and over again to these weird lyrics about taking balls to the face and effing an N's ass and all kinds of stuff, dude. Like where it's like, what are you guys telling us here? I don't understand. But the interesting thing is, yeah, one of the articles I sent you from Salon. So Diddy gets basically accused, not even basically, he gets accused of being the Jeffrey Epstein of the music industry.
Right.
And the Salon.com, which Salon is a left-leaning, you know, online newspaper rag, their take is how this underscores and highlights the problematic homophobia of the rap game. It's like, wait, their take was somehow.
Well, that's why I was saying rap is usually, I would say, pretty homophobic in general. Like, it's all about doing women and treating women as a piece of meat.
Not according to this supercut that I'm trying to tell you about, but yeah.
And then so my I mean I can understand how they get to that, you know, connect the dots and get to that point, because it's like, here's these chauvinist dudes with guns, and it's all about strippers and making it rain and having as much sex with as many women as you can. And yet behind closed doors, they're all doing each other.
Yeah. The article's point was actually, to be fair, it was like, the terrible thing here is years and years of alleged sexual assaults on women, men. Well, so their point was sort of like, hey, four women have come forth and alleged that Diddy sexually assaulted them, but now a dude does it and everybody's talking about it. Like, well,
okay. Yeah, I get that.
He paid them off and they went away, and then he bought their silence. But also, that I'm aware of, none of them came forward and said that he was having drug-fueled sex parties with minors and videotaping it, with multiple people becoming criminally implicated. Like, that's another level. It's not just the gay stuff, yo. Yeah. It's like he's doing what?
So I want to play a clip here, and then I want to come back to Diddy. But I'm sure you've heard Dr. Phil went to the border recently.
Yes, I've heard Dr. Phil went to the border lately.
Head of all the border guards down there, the head of the union, I ask him straight up, kids are coming over the border with numbers written on them, phone numbers and addresses. Do we check those out? He said, well, we call them. Is it possible that we're sending them into known prostitution rings or sweatshops? He said, it's not possible. It is absolute. We are using American tax dollars to ship children into known prostitution and sweatshops.
Some children.
Well, who knows?
Okay.
What difference does that make?
I said, are you?
So what kind of checking do they do? So
they call the number and say, do you know about this child? They say, yes. Will you receive them when they come? Yes. I said, how is this possible?
But he also just said, I saw this today, that Meta suppressed his original video where he was actually talking to the head of the Border Patrol Union. Shocker. Pedophiles protect their own.
Well, apparently before it got suppressed, the guys at Tim Pool's show got to see it. And they said that the dude didn't exactly say that. He said something more like, it's absolutely, like, more or less, like, absolutely likely that that's happening. But that the way that Dr. Phil retold it, he made it sound like the dude said, that's absolutely happening. We are doing that, like, on purpose. So he's overstating it a little bit compared to the actual video.
Apparently. It's still pretty damning, though, that head of the union admitted that that's probably happening.
I mean, are people coming into this country illegally that end up in the sex trade? Yeah. Is that news? No. Is it any more or less of an outrage than anything else that's happening with regard to the border?
I think it's kind of one of those out of sight, out of mind things. Like, people don't realize that that's really what's going on.
It's just the same way that we all carry around iPhones in our pocket and don't want to talk about the fact that they're being produced by child labor, right? And that these douchebags drive around in their Teslas and don't want to talk about the fact that there are slaves in Africa mining the cobalt and the lithium, and they somehow think they're saving the world, right? Like,
right.
What Americans are really, really good at just pretending bad stuff doesn't happen.
Okay, so let's say that what Dr. Phil is saying is more than likely true, right? We would say it is true. It's happening. He's exposing it. It's getting suppressed. And there's people in this country who would just rather not, just like, pretend that that doesn't exist, because it's
the number one issue in America right now, according to every poll being conducted.
Immigration is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would say this whole
child sex traffic.
That's absolutely a subcategory of the concerns of people who are tired of the immigration problem. Sure it is.
If you
ask every single one of those people, list 10 things you don't like about the state of our immigration problem, one of them, 90-something% of them, I would almost guarantee one of them would be the sex trade in general, children probably in particular. Would it be the number one for everybody? No, not necessarily, but I bet it would be on their top 10 list for all of the people who are claiming that their biggest issue is immigration.
Do you think a lot of those people are leftists that are claiming their biggest issue is immigration?
It's the number one issue according to even Democrats right now. I don't know if it's like half of Democrats and, you know, 90-something% of Republicans making it the number one issue in the country. Like, among
knowing
leftists,
what we know about
no.
the left, do you think that the child sex thing is really, To me, I would say half of them are probably like, yeah, in one ear, out the other, don't care. It's not affecting my life, whatever.
Yeah, and the other half are totally okay with it. The other half are totally okay with that.
Okay, there it is. They're okay with
Foucault it. And all these freaks have been saying for 60 years that we should be sexualizing children anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They like that.
So take it back. So coming full circle back to P. Diddy.
Look at the term minor attracted person. It yeah. keeps coming, popping up.
Pedophile.
Right.
So back he's having these sex-fueled, these drug-fueled sex parties. Right. Yeah, with minors, more than likely.
DFSPs? Yeah. No, they're specifically alleged little boys and little girls. I mean, jeez. Underage. I don't know what that means.
This is very dark stuff.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I hope he goes to
this
jail
lady,
forever.
This lady that says... like handler who would organize all this crap. Apparently she, you know, basically runs his house and like basically his business,
the madame,
and everybody that is employed in the Diddy empire, which he has like servants at his different mansions. Right. They wear fanny packs full of drugs to keep him drugged.
And the madam is the one that's running this show for him.
Right.
Hmm.
That's the other thing too, is that they really, to me, even more interesting than the fact that, oh, surprise, a billionaire rapper is a freak, or any billionaire, musician for that matter, is there's allegations in there that there have been, he's got allegations in there and photographic evidence that you know, ties Diddy and his son to murdering a guy in cold blood in the like daytime, and never got charged with it. And so he's alleging that like the LAPD has been, complicit in Diddy's crimes, but even further than that, that some powerful, you know, globalist type has been able to just make cases disappear.
So let me ask you this: where is this case being brought forth? Is it in California?
You know, I don't know,
because I mean, California is pretty, pretty open to the idea of sexualizing children. So, and you just said there's some global elite force that somehow makes these kinds of things disappear. But this is now out there for the public. I don't think this one can just go away.
NPR is reporting on it.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is like, it seems like they're going to let this one be the one that hangs them. Let's see. Where?
He can share a cell with R. Kelly.
He was singing about assaulting little girls like his whole career. Like, he had number one hits that were admitting to these things.
Sipping on coke and rum, I'm like, so what, I'm drunk. I love that song. It's an R. Kelly banger.
Go ahead and move on.
Yeah, well, we got a short run sheet today anyway, so there's your hip-hop news.
New York. I kind of thought it was New York.
Probably
in New York.
Okay.
Southern District Federal Court.
Too bad it's not Florida. All right. Well, we'll keep tabs on that. And if they'll actually hang him for that, we'll see. I don't know.
He alleged in a civil complaint that P. Diddy is part of a RICO like crime syndicate.
Yeah. Like, he's the head of
it. They should sick Fanny on it.
All right. You want to go back to Fanny? Let's go.
Yeah. Updates since last week, this week that this drops, there should be a verdict potentially. I think I mentioned that when they came forth for the closing arguments, that both sides had more witnesses that they wanted to try to call, right? Did I mention that?
I don't recall.
But the judge basically said, we'll just do the closing arguments and then I can decide whether or not to let these people in.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides had alleged new witnesses. The Trump team's witness, they didn't really get to explain what that person was there to say, other than they would challenge some of what Terrence Bradley had said in his denial of all the text messages, basically, and then his claim that, like, you know, he was speculating and all that. The state's team, Fanny's team, their witness was, did we talk about the Napa Valley winery person that came forward after their testimony saying,
no.
Oh yeah, I remember 2 years ago, these two were in my winery and she pulled out like $450 worth of cash. And I thought, wow, that's weird. Nobody ever uses cash. So I can attest to, I can support and personally attest to the fact that I saw her pay one time with cash. Did we talk about that?
No.
There's so many details, it's hard to keep them all. Like a couple of days after they testified, her and Nathan Bradley, right? In that like dead week in between, CNN reports that they had a explosive new, you know, source who could attest to the fact that Fannie Willis paid with cash one time, $450 a couple of years ago, and that that proved how she clearly was paying for stuff when they traveled together. That was going to be their, that was who they were going to call, was this person to testify to this one time a couple of years ago.
Huh.
Yeah. So the judge is like, nah, let's just close out the arguments. I mean, the long and short of it is the judge, I think, doesn't need anything else, right? Right. He's ready to rule on a bare minimum that there's an appearance of impropriety here, regardless of the state's twisted ass logic trying to say that somehow he has to find an actual conflict. But since then, the Trump team has trickled out that they now have two witnesses, both of whom are prepared to testify, that Nathan Bradley, not Nathan Bradley, Terrence Bradley, Nathan Wade's old partner, it was going around for like the last 18 months, flapping his gums to anybody that would listen about how their relationship goes back to when they met at the law conference in 2019, that he had a garage door opener to her house, that they were sleeping together at Robin Yerdy's apartment. One of these two, though, is assistant district attorney in the neighboring county of Cobb County, which I think the greater Atlanta area is mostly Fulton and Cobb County, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this lady who's a prosecutor in Cobb County. So she knows all these people, who was close enough with Terrence Bradley that she was in his presence one time. I think he was in her office at the courthouse when he took a phone call from Fannie Willis last fall, where Fannie said, and she claims she heard Fannie, so I don't know if he put her on speakerphone or what, but she's willing to testify. A lawyer, prosecutor, fellow prosecutor in a different office is ready to testify that she personally heard Fannie tell him, "They're coming after us. I saw a news article about how much money I've been paying y'all. Don't talk to them." She also will testify that Bradley told her himself about his firsthand unprivileged knowledge about their relationship going back to 2019, which, so all she would do is confirm the stuff he said in the text messages and contradict what he claimed on the stand, which was this like foggy memory and this idea that he speculated. The interesting thing about that is Fannie was paying a media like marketing firm to track her mentions in news across the news and social media across the country. So she spent 10 grand on, well, that's the interesting thing. She contracted for 10 grand for some firm to keep up with her mentions, but apparently stiffed them. And I think might have even been using state funds for the partial payment she made, but don't quote me on that last part. So it totally tracks. Like part of the news was already that she had contracted with this firm to track her mentions while she was undergoing this case. It tracks with that, that this lady heard her make this call to Terrence Bradley saying, "Hey, we're being talked about in the news about the fact that I've got y'all under contract and the amount that I'm paying y'all is being questioned. So you need to go hide out," right? Not knowing that at that exact time, he was already talking to Ashley Merchant. But, you know, I think I've mentioned this. I'm almost positive I mentioned this the last time we talked about it. When they did their closing arguments, the state used this twisted logic that the appearance of an impropriety is not sufficient to remove a prosecutor. An actual conflict has to exist, right? We talked about that.
Yeah, we did.
And the judge asked the guy, like, "Wait, but what about all this discussion in each one of these cases about the appearance?" And he goes, "Well, The only time that anybody was removed, prosecutors in particular, in the history of the state of Georgia, was when an actual conflict existed. So the appearance was because of the actual, which is hilarious and nonsense, right? And I couldn't believe that the defense counsel for the Trump team didn't necessarily bring up my point, which is like, you don't get to the appellate level unless you appeal a decision.
Right.
Right. And the only times that an removal of a prosecutor had even made it to the appellate level was after somebody had been convicted and they were coming back around trying to overturn their conviction by bringing up that there was a conflict of interest. They did make the point that this lady had, they listed six conflicts of interest. And one of them was she has a personal, professional, political, all kind of intertwined, right? Stake in the case. In other words, she's trying to make her name on this, mm-hmm. right? That's the point right there that I wish they would have made, which is the reason there's no case law on a prosecutor being taken out is because when that's happened during a pending criminal case, the prosecutor would not come around and try to challenge that through appeal. They'd say, all right, fair enough, judge. Maybe there's an appearance of a conflict of interest. I'll hand it to somebody else in my office, mm-hmm. and they'd let it go away. But this crazy lady, they did make this point too, hid the relationship throughout this. Like, the thing is, the timing doesn't even matter, right? She hid the relationship knowing that it would be a bad look, right? And now they've copped to it. I don't feel like anything else is even relevant. And it proves the reason why just the fact that she's fighting like hell to stay on it at this point further proves that she's invested in being the one who takes him out, which proves she's got a political slash professional conflict of interest in this case. She's not pursuing justice. She's pursuing her limelight, right?
I mean, but her career's ruined.
Yeah, her career is ruined because she's an idiot. Yeah. I think the Democratic National Committee and the powers in the Uniparty are promising her that she'll be fine, I guess is all I can figure. Like, that they're like, no, keep going. Just make, I don't know what they're thinking at this point, dude. I think they lost control of this chick. That's what I think. I think somewhere in the last 6 weeks, somebody probably tried to tell her, you know, Fanny, the jig might be up. And she was like, no. And she's like, just so committed to her lie now that to back out of it, that's all I can think, right? Like, what? Because it's all it's doing is like every day of delay in that case makes it less likely that it ever comes to trial before the election. And the heat and media attention that it's getting is only lifting Trump's numbers. Like, I'm convinced of that. Look at him. His numbers have been skyrocketing since this scandal broke. I know that's part of it. But then again, maybe that's the whole, like, we're going to go ahead and sabotage the thing and let the angry right wingers have their victory, right? To put this pacifier in their mouths, like I talked about last time. Or she's just a crazy bee, which there's no doubt that Fanny is a crazy bee. Like, that's part of the problem. She's a crazy bee, right?
But very self-absorbed. Victim mentality, you know, just like going back to her first public speaking engagement after all of this broke, and it was at the church where she just was like,
right, oh,
black poor women, me. Yeah, poor right. me.
We're here to save the world. Me. I got a call from one of my buddies from law school who's a very high powered attorney in the Chicago area that has actually tried a case or argued a case before Amy Coney Barrett when she was at the appellate level.
Mm-hmm.
He had listened to, I think a couple of weeks ago, the summary we did. And I was kind of catching him up from that one. And I made this point about how, like, the reason there's no precedent in appellate cases or Supreme Court cases for the removal of a prosecutor is a prosecutor would never challenge if they were removed. So it would never get put in writing in an appellate decision. It would be the trial judge deciding, hey, there's a problem here. This doesn't pass the sniff test. And they'd be like, mm-hmm. yeah, you're right, judge, I'm out. Right. So he was like, yeah, that's exactly why. Right. And that's why the judges who did write these opinions where an actual conflict existed still made sure to point out the appearance that this is the standard, the appearance or the actual. And this poor sap is arguing that because there was an actual conflict found, that means that's the only allowed removal, which is hysterical. But it just drives the point home. you're challenging the very, now the judge hasn't, I say that, the judge hasn't ruled on that yet. So it's not like they've appealed that. They're arguing that it would be improper. But you see where I'm going,
right? I think somebody definitely told her, hey, you're going to have to just walk away from this.
That's what you would think so, right?
And I, but I'll, it's, it, to me, it looks just like Biden and the Democrats. Like, hey, Joe, you know, you're not going to run again. He's like, oh, yes, I am. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, but at least he has the excuse of dementia. What's her excuse?
That's the same thing. They just, they
angered.
No, here's my
angry victim lady
to the party. Yeah.
Did you see that Big Mike has again officially said that she's out?
I saw it everywhere today, which is great.
She's not running. She doesn't want to run. She's rocking around with nearly $1 billion in like mansions all over the Western Hemisphere. Why would she?
The only way she would have done it was to satisfy her ego, and apparently her ego isn't that big.
No, she doesn't. She would rather be eating caviar and making millions of dollars to make crappy social justice films than put that dude. No, yeah, that's not. She doesn't want that. She already got to be the first black first lady, so she, that's her mark in history. Why would she even want to taint that by this, the hell that she would catch if she rolled out there? No. She still got her hair still dark. Like, she doesn't have any gray that anybody can see. Like, why would she? You know what happens to those people when they take office?
Yeah.
Age like 25 years and two. So,
and like, what it's, it sounds very similar to being a parent of a 15 year old with a learner's permit.
I had managed to put it out of my mind.
What are friends for?
Son of a bitch.
There's your nutsack, and I just kicked you
to
right
give
in
her
it.
A hug.
Yeah. I don't envy that. I'm not looking forward to that in 3 years.
I got, like, it's bonus time.
It was a nice rant, too.
Yeah.
Am I helping or hurting the situation? That's what good friends do to each other.
I'll be honest with you. I very foolishly will play with my phone while she's driving. I wasn't even looking when she parked the truck because I kind of thought, like,
this is a slam dunk.
Times. This, right. Yeah. I don't know that I could have stopped her. I wouldn't have seen where she was putting her foot. Although when she was stopped, I would have probably said, hey, put it in park, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. But I definitely was looking at my phone when she hit the gas and smashed into the wall. And so I definitely took from that, put your damn phone down and pay attention to what your daughter is doing while she's driving this truck. I had watched like the whole way that to the house.
Yeah.
I even corrected her when she, you know, made a left-hand turn at a light, you know, going southbound to head eastbound. And when she did it, she drifted over into the other lane, which I keep telling her about all the time, like turn and stay in your lane. And she copped a little bit of an attitude that I was coaching her. So I guess there was a little humble pie for her and a teaching moment for dad and all that.
I think she needs more coaching.
You think? What sucks, dude, is like, I'm telling, I don't know how much it's going to take to fix that wall. Like, the visible damage, like at a glance, is not that bad, but there's some cracks in the mortar, like way up high. And
it's just a good, yeah.
Trying to save for a trip to Cabo with Ashley for our 20th next year, and figure this seems like it's going to cost me, especially if I want to fix the bumper. Feels like this is like $3,000 out the door. What do you think? That sound about right?
Oh, I think the house will be more than that for sure alone, and then the truck. Yeah.
It's not, the house is not like just destroyed. It really isn't. Like, I mean, they may come and take a look at it and be like, dude, we can just fill those cracks. It'll be fine. The worst part is, you know, you've got like a 2x8 frame around your garage door, right? Like wood, you know, like a 2x8 that's painted to kind of frame out. So that stone meets that 2x8. And apparently, however she hit it, it like jammed that 2x8 backwards and created like a freaking half inch gap between like at the foundation. So the foundation comes up, then the stone starts, and that 2x8 goes down through that joint all the way to the ground level, like to the driveway level, right? And it pushed that back into the door. The door opened and seemed to work fine, but like I said, there's like a gap this big.
Well, here in McKinney, Texas, we just have a simple 2-car garage in our modest house. And, but sometimes when it would hail, Aaron always puts her car in the garage if there's hail coming. I'm like, I'm a little less vigilant, but she'll like start cleaning out that side of the garage and then want me to put my truck in there. Well, the truck doesn't fit all the way. So I put it, you know, it's like 90% in, but then I closed the garage door, just like try to stop it right above the bed of the truck. One time I didn't stop it, and now the garage door functions, but there's like a crease in it from that. I'm not fixing it though.
Yeah. Are you at risk of like a 18-foot wall of limestone blocks falling on somebody?
No, not like
right.
You.
Then you're fine.
Here's my question though. When will the gun shy period be over and you get back in the truck with her?
I might make her drive to youth group tonight.
I think that's a good idea.
She's a horseback rider. She's got to get back on that horse, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I felt bad. Thankfully, I didn't just flip out on her, but I also was really struggling to like really comfort her. I'm not going to lie. I gave her a hug. She's an awkward hugger anyway. She's not a touchy-feely person.
So. I know. I try to give her a hug
yeah.
just to make her feel weird because she isn't like that. She doesn't like physical touch.
No, she doesn't.
Or I think I tell Henry, hey.
Go she started crying go immediately, dude. Instantly. Yeah.
yeah.
She hit it hard, dude. Like I said, imagine.
Did you think that? Are you surprised the airbags didn't go off hard? Like that kind of hard?
Ooh. I mean, it was only like 2 feet, right? Yeah. So there wasn't enough, it wasn't enough momentum for that. I hadn't even thought about that, but yeah, I'm definitely, I guess, glad that it didn't accidentally smash the airbags into her face. That could have made things a lot worse.
Poor kiddo.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, like if you have a deployment of your airbags where it's not like a full blown, like hardcore collision, it's pretty much going to break your nose, right?
I don't know about
then,
that.
Like knock the crap out of you.
Yeah, I don't really know. The only times I've ever had airbags go off was when it was like a real collision.
I mean, it can like break an arm or a thumb, right? If you're like holding onto the wheel and the bag blows out.
Well, I think that's why kids don't ride in the front seat, like unless you're a certain height. That is the reason.
Thankfully, that didn't happen.
Yeah. It'll be fine. You'll be fine. Save some pennies. You can still go to Cabo. Everything is fine, dude. All right, well, I think that's gonna do it for this episode of Justified Pursuit, episode 166. For the good counselor Chisholm Cook, I'm Cable Smith. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week.
And watch out for those learner's permits, I guess.
But you wrecked it all. You wrecked my heart. You wrecked our house and you wrecked my car. Left all.